portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. Recorded live at Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. Presented along the Cornerstone Radio Network and the Kingdom Keys Network of Stations. Join us now for this broadcast of Sunday Night Live. On tonight's program, we reflect on our host emeritus, the late Mark Meek, and we air a tribute, which was originally aired in April of 2022, with a couple of special guests as we reflect on the history of this program and the man who served so long as its host, Mr. Mark Meek. And with that, here is your host for tonight's program, Miss Natalie Thomas.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight on tonight's show. As we come in tonight's show after this afternoon, we all had the opportunity to honor the life of Mark Meek, and he has gone to walk with Jesus. I know that he's rejoicing with him now. And so tonight we wanted to do the same thing, as we want to honor the life of Mark Meek. And so tonight with me, I have Bruce Johnson and Gary Ware. Welcome, guys.
Hey. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Mom. Gary,
Long time no see.
And so these two guys have a really significant connection to Mark Meek, and so a lot of our listeners may already know, but if you'll go ahead and tell us how you are connected, Gary, with Mark, and kind of just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I don't know how far back you want to go.
Well, rumor has it, and I don't know, because, you know, I'm a youngie. I'm just now getting into the radios, so I've only got to know Mark for a short time. But it's been my understanding that you were with him at the very beginning as he started the radio show.
Almost the beginning.
Almost the beginning.
Yeah, Teresa and I started coming to Christian Center in 1991, and it was, I want to say it was probably the first part of 92 when he first asked me to be on the program with him. So that was the first, yeah, and then it was kind of a recurring deal that took place. And then also, after the program moved to Canadian, I drove up there for quite a while and did the program there, and with Bruce Johnson, Donald Hill, and Mark. It was a lot of fun.
I bet so.
So.
And so, did you know Mark?
You want me to tell you the first time I met Mark?
Yes, I would, actually.
Because this is not, this is kind of interesting. This is not church stuff, so.
That's all right.
Me and some buddies were, Mark had a place out west of Wheeler on the Cemetery Road, and it's where we used to go to stash our whatever it was we were doing that we weren't supposed to be doing. And so we were out there picking up whatever we had hid out in the woods, and Mark comes pulling in the gate. And we drove across part of his wheat field, which was the wrong thing to do. So anyway, that all
got his attention.
Yeah, and got my attention. And then, but the funny thing was, then, there's a lot to all this, and so you can tell me to...
Oh, we want to, you know, all right. Keep on going. I'll stop you when
Actually, prior to that, Christian Center had some events they called Youth Quakes. Where
now, wait a minute. You can't go and not tell us what happened when you met Mark.
Mark said, get off my wheat field, and I said, yes, sir.
Okay, now you can go to the Christian Center.
Okay, but before that, actually, so that was probably the second time I was around Mark. Christian Center had some events they called Youth Quakes, and that was back in the Jesus Movement deal back in the early mid-70s. I was in the fifth grade, okay?
Okay.
And so Mark and Willie George and all these guys brought a band in town, Mephibosheth. So I say that right? I always have trouble with that name. Yeah, and anyway, so they had a big deal, and like in those days, you didn't have Nintendos at home. You didn't, you know, you had like three channels on TV, and anything you could do to get out of the house, you would.
We didn't hang around inside.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm going to that. Whatever it is, I'm going to it because it's downtown. And that's where everybody's going. So I remember I went to that, and they gave an altar call at the end. Had a band of long-haired people that played music and gave the altar call, and I raised my hand and seriously gave my heart to the Lord. All right. So then next day, Monday morning comes around, you go to school, and everybody's like, what the heck did you do?
What's the matter with you?
Yeah. You know, I really was serious, but then I just didn't have a lot of support, so I didn't really follow through with all that. But I really believe that's the time of my life when I gave my heart to the Lord, and that when he did come in. So then fast forward, when I was 30, started having some physical problems with my health. And so the secretary at the radio station at the time, Darla Brown, told my wife to tell me to come by there. And Ricky Fowle told her if I'd come by there, they'd pray for me and the Lord would heal me. And my wife was like, there's no way I'm going to tell him, because I was one of those guys that didn't like Ricky Fowle very much. Love you, Brother Fowle. But anyway, she did, and I've gotten to give that testimony just hundreds of times, but it's so I don't know if you've heard all this.
I have never heard that testimony.
Okay, so anyway, so they invited me to come down. I went down and talked to Brother Fowle and visited, and he said, come back this evening. We're going to pray for you. And just happened to be in the same room where, or same part of the building where they'd had that youth quake when I was 12, now I was 30. They prayed for me, and the Lord healed me. And during this time, during the initial part of it, they prayed for me, and I was still, man, green as, I was a baby.
Right.
And so what I would do is, not knowing what to do, I would go drive out to Mark Meek's house out at the ranch, and he'd just stop whatever he was doing. Yeah. Didn't matter what he was doing. I know he had to think, oh, my God, here comes Gary again. But, I'd go out there, and he'd just encourage me and share the word with me and just keep lifting me up and pushing me, keeping me on the right track.
Like a form of discipleship.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And that was in 91, I suppose. And it was just like he took me under his wing. And there were a couple other guys that did the same thing, Don Brown and Brother Fowle. But Mark was really one that I just felt like I could go out there and, even though I may have been putting him out a little bit, he never is like, get off my lawn or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm down with you. Leave me alone. Yeah.
So anyway, it just developed a 30-some-odd-year relationship. And so I've gone back to him many times over the years. And sorry, I'm getting kind of misty over here, but
that's all right. And, that's kind of makes me think of what Ricky Fowle said today. No, it was Bruce. I said that today as we honored Mark. As we're crying, it's because we're happy. Yeah. It's not because that we're sad.
Right.
But we're happy. Yeah, it was a love cry that we had that chance to know him. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think, like what you're saying, Gary, I think a lot of people built the same way. He was just no respecter of persons, and he did that for everybody.
Yeah. And that continued up until, just the last
weeks.
Yeah. So this other part's kind of personal, but I don't think Mark will mind and Annette won't mind. It's nothing really other than, like, I would be praying at times and the word Lord would give me a word or whatever, and Mark would come in the dealership and I'd visit with him or whatever. So a week or so back, right before the week before Easter, I was praying in the Spirit, and I just pray in the Spirit and ask for the Lord to give me a word, and prayed, and then it was like the next morning the word was, be of good cheer. Mm-hmm. And so I sent that to Mark in a text and said, that probably sounds goofy from anybody, but, you got goofy friends, so what can I say? And Annette texted me back and said that made him chuckle. So, yeah. But we kind of had a relationship like that, where the Lord would give us a word, and it was always something to encourage each other, lift each other up, keep each other mm-hmm. going the right direction. So,
I know there was a few times on the radio, because, you know, like I said, I started on the radio in October, and he was on with me. And then whenever things got to where he couldn't be here every time, he said, call Gary, he'll help you. Call Gary, he'll help you. And so he really was concerned, but he wanted me to call Gary because, you know, Gary could help me, and he was wanting to make sure that I was taken care of. And then he was concerned, and he called Bruce, and he said, I call Bruce. Bruce is going to help you. And so, so y'all are the guys, I guess. So anyway, but you know, just talking about that, you know, like I said, I've only known him for a short time, and I don't mean to be, I'm going to give the mic to you just a minute, Bruce, but, I am so thankful that I had the opportunity to meet Mark, because in that short time, the way he was with everybody that spoke today at the funeral is how I felt. And it was almost like I felt cheated that I didn't get more years with him so that I could have, you know, I feel like I'm knowing him more now than before. And so, like people say, you can call him up. He would talk to you, and he would, how are you doing? And he'd give you advice, and he had that way of just ministering to you. Or actually, and when I went to Colorado with him to the ministers conference, and I told him, I said, y'all just love on me in a way that I don't even know. I mean, it's just being you. Mm-hmm. Just being you is loving on me, and I just really appreciated that. And so I told him that they were stuck with me forever.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. Yeah. So, Gary, was there anything else you wanted to add to that? Or
I'll let Bruce take a shot here.
All right, Bruce.
Okay. What was the question?
Well, the question was, how are you and Mark connected?
How did our friendship? Okay. I was actually working on a ranch up north of Canadian, and the guy I worked for was friends with Mark. And don't ask me dates. This would have been late 90s, probably. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we usually just say the other day.
Yeah, and so I think my boss had borrowed a piece of equipment from Mark, or I can't remember what, but we were standing outside, and Mark drove up and was introduced to him. And not too long after that, his daughter was attending a youth group in Canadian, and there was a trip to Liberal, Kansas and I can't remember who it was, but I was helping with that youth group, and so jumped on a bus with all the kids and went up to the Liberal, and Mark and Annette went also, and ended up sitting with Mark and visiting all the way up and all the way back. And he was just, like Gary said, he was just interested in you. You know, mm-hmm. you felt like you were, it wasn't polite conversation. He really wanted to know. And at that time in my life, I was really just seeking God and really excited about my relationship. And Mark was excited for me, you know, mm-hmm. and he would ask just the best questions to draw things out of you. And so it just started a friendship from that point. And then not too many years later, I can't remember the timeline, but we ended up at the River Church there together, going to church, and started doing the radio program with him. And it was just one of those. Mark was somebody who was genuinely interested in you. And so he would ask me questions like, his favorite one, what's the Lord showing you? You know, what's new? And you would explain it and be excited, or I would explain it and be excited, and he would be excited. And I realized this in hindsight years later, but, you know, if God had given me a revelation about a certain scripture, I would just excitedly tell him, like I was the only one God had ever told this to.
Oh, yeah, you were teaching him a thing.
Yeah, and he would be excited, and he'd say, wow, that's just, you know, as if he didn't know.
Yes.
Or never climbed the tree up that side, whatever, however you want to say it. And I realized years later that he probably did know that truth, but he was not going to diminish my excitement that God was talking to me.
That's right.
And he wasn't lying about it. He had probably never heard anybody say it from a cowboy point of view or whatever. I mean, it was different coming from me. But he would be genuinely thrilled that you were seeking God and that relationship with God was bearing fruit in your own life. And he would glean what he could from yours. I mean, he was always seeking truth from the Word and very open to, Lord, correct me if I need correction. He was very quick to repent. And I think that was one of the neat things about Mark was that he knew he didn't know it all. And he was, when he realized that maybe I'm a little bit off in this area, then I'm going to repent and just step into what the truth that I now know. And it wasn't any huge corrections or anything, but I just remember that it was during that time that the Lord really started showing us what grace was.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, for 8 years we stayed on grace. And about the time you think there's nothing left to know, something else would come up. And Mark was real instrumental, our pastor and Mark and some different people in teaching that. And we just all kind of grew together in that. And somewhere in the middle of that, we had the radio and we just spent hours and hours and hours visiting together. And then that would turn into those phone calls. You know, I'd be driving down the road and I'd get a text or a phone call. It was like, do you have your Bible with you? Yeah. And we'd be at work, you know, mm-hmm. And he'd say, well, look at this certain scripture and then call me back. He's like, okay. And I'd look at it and I'd call him up and he'd say, well, what did the Lord show you? And I was like, well, this, this, and this. And he'd say, listen to this. And he was just excited that he was getting to share. And our relationship from the very beginning was always around our relationships with the Lord. And maybe that was the very first time in my life that I'd ever had a friend that the foundation of our friendship was about our relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It, that was just foreign to me. And it was really exciting that God had put someone in my life that I could share not just my growth with, but their growth in Christ, and that everything could be centered there, but it would go into every area. I mean, I helped him and worked for him at different times, and we would do other things, and we had radio programs where we talk about farming and cows and whatever else at different times, but it always came back to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs says that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but right in front of that it says, if a man is to have friends, he must show himself friendly. And that's just a perfect description of Mark. That
I was going to say, he probably had a lot of friends.
He had many friends because he showed himself friendly to people. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. You know, that talking about your relationship being based on Christ,
mm-hmm.
You know, that is a rare thing, I think, for most people, because that's probably what that's how your friendship started, like what you're mm-hmm. saying, and then that just grew, and then it turned into you started talking about cows, and you started talking about the other things, and so that's what I just love, because Mark was about relationship.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would get so tickled at him that even after a radio program sometimes, and at that time we were doing a two-hour program from 9 to 11, and it was a call-in live mm-hmm. program, and we get done at 11, and of course Mark still had to drive 30 minutes home or 25 minutes home, and we get everything shut down, and we'd walk out, and we'd sit on the sidewalk and talk for another half hour. And he'd finally say, well, I guess I better go. He's like, y'all, that kind of describes Mark, because he just really enjoyed people. And he never let anything get in the way of that.
That's right. And it reminds me of the people that share today at his, I call it a celebration, the countless times that he touched their lives, and it's all in the same way, you know. And I just think he had that gift. I can remember when he would start calling James when he got to know us. He'd call James, and then I can't remember. Us ladies went on a girls' trip, and I can't remember. And so he called James up, which is my husband, and he said, hey, I'm coming over. I'm going to make my chicken chili. And so sure enough, he got all the stuff and he showed up at the house and he hung out with James and the boys and they had chicken chili. And so, I mean, when you think about it, he was just trying to connect. That's all it was, is he was trying to connect. I think that he knew that connection is what is important in reaching out to people in the body of Christ, is having that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it doesn't go without saying, but it needs repeating, that Mark had such a relationship with God. I mean, just such a love relationship with God and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, that and he valued that. I mean, I know very few people that were so consistently pursuing that relationship like Mark. It was just a part of who he was. And so out of that came this love for people. I mean, if Jesus said, then I give you a new commandment, and that is to love others as I have loved you, Mark knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it wasn't something that, hey, this is a commandment, go do it. It was because he knew Jesus' love for him. And therefore, it was just like this overflow in his life to love other people. It was not a commandment that was obeyed. It was a commandment that was lived because out of relationship with the Lord. And that's hard to explain unless you've been there in your life and that you've felt so full of God's love that you can't help but share it. And to me, that describes Mark to the T. He's just so at peace with God and so excited about that relationship that it was just a natural overflow to everybody. And it doesn't matter who. I mean, there was different times we'd be working on something and Mark would say, you know, I need to run to town. I need to get this part. And you finish this up and I'll be back and we'll... And, you know, in my head, I would think, that'd be about an hour. And an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours later, Mark would drive up and he would get out and we'd keep working. And directly he'd say something like, you'll never guess who I ran into.
You know? And you're like, now I know.
And it was good. Or you'd be driving through town. And I didn't know a lot of people down in this part of the world. And we'd be doing something and he'd say, see that place right there? Do you know that guy? And I'd say, no. And he'd say, well, let me tell you about him. And it was not gossip. Mark would generally tell you something that he appreciated about that person, something that he found so interesting. See, let me tell you about them. This is the really neat thing about somebody, because he had taken the time to get to know people. And he was always searching for that good in other people. And he would see things, and I believe it's spiritual insight, that he had learned to see people as how God sees them, who they really were.
Mm-hmm.
In God's eyes. And therefore, he would see, and he would just kind of wipe away all the bad. Just, it would be a blur, and he would just see their potential in Christ. And so he was just excited about everybody in that way. And I think that's just so amazing.
Yes.
He saw me that way.
Yes. And it makes me think of... Gary helped me remember, but Aaron, he just preached a message not too long ago. He said, when we have been loved much, that's what causes us to love. Yeah. And I think that's what that was Mark. Because you remember how he worded that? But basically, he was just preaching those who have received love from God love much, love others much. And I believe that was Mark.
Yeah, that was definitely Mark. You know, it was like you were talking about him coming down and cooking for the guys to get to connect. And so it wasn't long after we started going to Christian Center when Mark, and this was pre cell phone days. I mean, so he had to make an effort to get a hold of me. I don't remember if he called me at work or whatever, but he's like, I want you to come to Canadian. I'm going to buy your lunch. I was like, okay, Mark Meek wants to buy my lunch. And
right.
So anyway, I drove up there and I think I met him at Gageby and we rode up there. Well, little did I know that the bank was giving away free hamburgers. So he took me to the bank and we had
a good business.
It was so funny because we both got such a kick out of that because he was going to buy my lunch and he took me up there for a free hamburger. But for the next 30 years, that was always something that I'd call him. I was like, want to buy your lunch or something. And he's like, well, who's serving free food? So, anyway, he just had the way of doing stuff like that to connect with people. And, you know, it just gave us, I mean, a common thread just over something little that we were able to remember in this relationship after all. Yeah, so it's pretty neat.
And I think it was easy for him. It just come natural for him.
Right.
Yeah. Second Corinthians 5:14 says that for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And then verse 16 says this: therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. And I think Mark had reached the point in his life that he was compelled by the love of God to the point where he regarded no person from the outside. He could spiritually see the God-given identity in each person, the potential and the future for those people. And so that's just an amazing thing. And therefore, relationships were probably much easier. I mean, I want to be that way.
Right.
Yeah.
He's definitely something to aspire to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one thing I think about, and this is one thing I told James today, I said, up until he went to meet Jesus, he was still ministering.
Yeah.
He never once. And that was what he always... he always wanted to talk about people getting saved. He always wanted to talk about the word. He always wanted to talk about what God was doing today. And that's what, and that's good. And so actually to the point of, you know, cause he was living in Oklahoma City for a little while, and, we just started small groups here on Wednesday nights, and him and Annette lead a small group. And so he actually got with Aaron, and Aaron set it up for a way that he could be still lead that small group. And so we actually got to so when it first started, we got him for like 2 weeks.
Right.
That he was able to lead that small group. And I just think, and that was his desire.
Yep.
That was his desire. He had that desire to share that love, to talk to people about Christ and to help them to walk in the fullness mm-hmm. of who they are. And, you know, it makes me think about today, Ricky File played that little excerpt of him mm-hmm. when they decided to start the radio program. And did he say it was at the school?
Yeah, they had a big celebration at the school when they actually flipped the switch to turn it on. That was the day that the radio KPDR went on the air, and they did it from the auditorium at the public school here in Wheeler. So. It was a pretty neat deal. And Jim, he probably doesn't have his mic up there, but
yeah, I do. I've got several of them.
But I think they had all these plans to get it on. And I think when they flipped the switch, it was on at like 10
watts at 20 feet or something, you know, because just absolutely everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And so in spite of all of that, they still plowed through, had the big on-air celebration and everything. They brought in a special gospel group and everything, and all the elders spoke, and you heard the excerpt of what Mark said, speaking in faith, and yet they're running it like 10 watts at 20 feet out here on the tower, and people called from 30 miles away heard it. So God just miraculously blessed them as they got started there.
Yes.
Yeah, just absolutely everything that could possibly have gone wrong did. And God was still glorified.
And still
Mark was instrumental in all that whole deal, getting the radio going, because there was opposition to it. There was a fellow that was filing against him to try to keep it from going on. I mean, there was just a ton of stuff. And so it would have been really easy to get discouraged and you know, I don't know where this is going to go or whatever. But you could tell that Mark had something from the Lord.
On the inside
that it was going to. So they... You know, maybe we can get that and play it, but it's...
Yeah, I was thinking about that tonight. I was like, man, this afternoon, I was thinking, man, if we could have had that. Do you have it? All right, well, we'll kill some time while you get it ready to show. But it just, I was just, how exciting was that they had that recorded? I'm assuming that's where they had aired the show. Mm-hmm. and that they had recorded that, and we got to hear that. We got to hear it.
Yeah.
From him, you know.
And it was from 1987, 86, okay. And it was cool, too, because Joe Jernigan, I think he got up and gave a word about being on satellite, which in 1986 was...
Who heard of that?
Yeah, and all that came to pass. I mean, mm-hmm. they actually ended up uploading it on satellite and feeding it to other stations. I think we're past satellites now. We're back to internet and whatever else. But it's just for two guys, you know, in 1986 to say the words they said, it's just, I mean, you knew they had been out of your mind, or you had to have a word from the Lord. That's pretty much it.
Well, isn't that how sometimes God is? He gives you a word, and it seems irrational to everybody else.
Yeah.
And when you think about Noah building the ark and things like that, you're like, man, what are you doing? And, that's that faith. That's that faith step that we have to step out and get that faith. Well, I think Jim's got that ready for us. So.
Yes, I do. We'll play it for you right now, and then we'll come right back.
Okay.
Now, an assignment is a post or a duty to which one is appointed. And in the Bible, we see many accounts of people to whom God gave assignments. In most cases, those people didn't realize the full significance of what they were doing. They simply did what God told them to do. Do you think that Moses really understood what he was doing, the significance of what he was doing, when he led the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years? I wonder, do we really realize the significance of the assignments that God has given to us? Or do we see ourselves as being small people doing small things? I believe that God's given us an assignment. That assignment is to reach our town, our area, our nation, and our world. And I believe that God's given us a very valuable tool to help accomplish that assignment. That's why we're here today, to celebrate the sign-on of that tool, KPDR. We at Christian Center recognize that these are days of divine destiny. The uniting of the body of Christ in this area is not an accident, but rather it is God's plan to reach this area with His Word. We see the hand of the Lord in all that has happened and all that has come to pass in the preceding few months. We believe that the stage is set for a great harvest, and we rejoice that God has put in our hands a sickle and thrust us into the fields. Now, as we're embarking on our greatest venture today, I predict that once again we'll have great victories. As a family, united in purpose, realizing the significance of our undertaking, we will go forward. We will do exploits for God. We will do much damage to Satan's kingdom. And as a result of God's kingdom, the name of Jesus will be glorified. So be it. Thank you. God bless you.
That's right, and that was just so powerful to me. And as you guys were speaking tonight, how they saw potential in people, that's what I kept going back to. Is he said we all have an assignment, and so I think he saw everybody as that way. Is we all have the assignment to go out and to do what God wants us to do, and just doing what God tells us to do. Not even knowing, you know, how far. And like we were talking about the radio earlier, about satellite, you know, that's not even a thing. And then now what we have the radio app. I mean, I bet that wasn't even an idea. And so just where radio has come, you know, where it's come. And so about us having that divine destiny. And that's what really sparked me is he saw that in you, Bruce. Mm-hmm. He saw that. And I think he saw that in me. And he saw that in you, Gary. And he saw that and he sees that in everybody that he comes in contact with. If we would be the same way. If we would be that same way. But I really wanted to read the scripture, because when I read this, I was like, oh, this is the perfect scripture, because I know this is what God is saying, and it has to be the Passion Translation. I don't know if it is or not, but I know that was Mark's favorite. And, you know, I didn't even know about the Passion Translation until he introduced that to us. And so, but anyway, it's in Matthew 25:23, and it says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And, you know, it was the very last line that just really sticks out to me is enter into the joy of the Lord. And I know that that's what Mark has done. He's entered in. And how many people is he meeting now that he affected through his ministry?
Oh, yeah. That was just what occurred to me. You know, Mark, Pastor Fowle, and others, Jim invested a lot of time in my life, too. You know, my marriage was like on a thread, and my health was shot, and I mean, everything was just in a big train wreck as you could make out of it. And these guys, you know, took me under their wing, and because they took time, Mark and these other guys took time to disciple me and to kind of keep me on track and keep me doing the things that God wanted me to do, you know, then, you know, we were allowed to get involved in youth ministry and different ministries in the church. And, I mean, we had one event here with over 500 kids that showed up when we had our grand opening at 180 in Wheeler. And I don't know how many kids made decisions over that, but that's, you know, goes back to one guy saying, "Hey, you're worth me stopping what I'm doing and right. visiting with you instead of just staying busy and going on down the road." How guilty am I of doing that? I mean, so many times I'm just like, you know, I'm busy. I've got business here and business there and running up and down the road. And I, you know I should stop and should give somebody a little consideration. And I'm guilty of not always getting that done. But
oh, I am too.
I will say Mark was one that went out of his way to try to make that happen when at all possible.
Mm-hmm. That makes me, with that being said, it reminds me about Mark. You know, typically he wasn't always on time. And so that probably was why. Because he was investing into somebody else. And so it didn't matter, you know, where he was going next. He was investing that time.
People matter more.
That's right. Yeah. People matter more than my schedule. Yeah. That's right. It's not about me, but it's about what God wants. Mm-hmm. And he was a good example of that. Well, Mark, we did a show, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about songs that really meant something special to us and just a little testimony. Mm-hmm. And so that song, now, Jim, help me remember, what's the name of that song?
The name of it is Goodness of God.
The Goodness of God. I mean, yes. I could sing it, but I don't know what it's actually called.
That just happened to be the last line of the chorus is, okay, I've lived in the goodness of God.
Yeah, so, the goodness of God. And to hear him talk about that in the midst of everything.
Probably at least a half a dozen times on this program, he would mention that song.
He would.
And how much it ministered to him.
He would. And so, you know what? Let's go ahead and play that song. Mm-hmm. And let's just bask in the goodness of God.
Mark's favorite part of this song was the second verse.
That's
so
right.
So pay attention
the
to that.
The voice. Yes.
I love your voice.
I love your voice.
And here's Rhett Walker doing the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so of the goodness of God.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Oh, I will sing the goodness of God.
Oh, you know, as I'm hearing that where it says, all my life you have been faithful, I can hear Mark singing that. I can just hear him saying how faithful God was to him and every breath that he was able, that he was singing praises to the God. And I don't know, just as I was listening to it, especially from that version, that's all I could just hear him singing that. But I know that while we were listening to that song, Bruce, why don't you go ahead and share what you got over there?
Well, if more than 100 times I've heard Mark quote from Romans 2:4, that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
It's the goodness of God when you understand that God is good and He's always good, that leads you and me and Mark to change the way we think, to reconsider what we thought we knew about God. It was His goodness that brought that towards us, not fear of wrath or fear of punishment or anything like that. And I think Mark was one of the first persons who really taught me that it was God's goodness that was going to lead me into more life. And if you look at James 1:17, it says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or variation or shadow of turning. Because it's of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creation. And so, I mean, it's important for our listeners to know that when people say that God is good, that's not just some flippant, sounds good saying. When you
that's
get
right.
a hold of that in your heart, and you understand that every good gift that you have comes from Him, And in God, there's no variation. There's no turning away from that. He's good, and he will always be good. There's anything outside of what looks good is not from God. And it's by his word that he brings us forth as first fruits. And it was so important to Mark and to me now for people to understand to be like Christ and to live like Christ. You have to understand that to the core of your depth, that God is good and he doesn't change. There's no variation. There's not even a shadow of turning away from his goodness. And when you get a hold of that, it's like a plumb line in your life. It's this solid assurance that I have that God is good. And regardless of my actions, God is good.
That's right.
And regardless of what things look like through my eyes and my ears and, you know, my five senses, I know the spiritual truth is that God is good. And therefore, I can become like a first fruit of Jesus. I can begin to live that way and know that way and share that God with other people, the goodness of him. And he's always faithful. I mean, I love the way that song, he's always been faithful to that.
Yes.
There's no variation in that. If you're listening and you've ever questioned the goodness of God, get a hold of the truth of those scriptures, because that's what changes your life. That's what changes how you think. That's what leads you to repent into a life that's like Christ, that you have to have that settled in your heart. And Mark taught me that.
That's right. You know, when I think about he knew that goodness.
Yeah.
Like you said, he knew that goodness. But, okay, so how did he know that goodness? How did Mark know that goodness? It's because he had a relationship with God. It was about a relationship. He had a relationship that God poured out his goodness into him, and that's all it is. It's just about, and actually I was just listening to a message just this morning and talking about all God wants is to spend time with us. Mm. You know, sure, we need things that God needs things to be done, and he needs hands and feet. But what he wants is just to spend time with us, like he did with Adam and Eve. He said in the cool of the day, he went and he spent with them. That's why he created them, is that we would be in relationship with him. And once Mark was in that relationship with God, he understood that goodness of God, and that's why he had to get everybody else.
Yeah.
That's why he had to reach out so that everybody else could experience that same goodness that God had given to him. And so I think about that, you know, as our listeners are listening out there, I know you've listened to Mark over the last 35 years. And so they know these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to encourage you to go out and be that legacy of Mark. Love people for who they are. Love them the way that God loves them, and see the potential in them that they may come into the goodness of God. And so with that being said, Bruce, would you mind going ahead and just praying and saying a little prayer for our listeners and for those that just to go out and to be
sure.
To be that, continue that legacy of Mark?
Sure. Father, we thank you. We just appreciate you more than we can say. We appreciate who you are. We appreciate how you are with us. We appreciate not just your actions, but that you've elevated your word above your name. And so we don't have to question. We can go to the scripture and we can see you. Jesus was our example, and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we can look towards Jesus to understand what goodness is really like. That you've enabled us by the power of your Holy Spirit, which you've given to us as believers, to not only discern truth, but for that truth to be a revelation that we can live from. And so thank you for the body of Christ and how you lead us and guide us, and you are the head, Jesus. And so we want to follow how you lead, and you supernaturally put people in our lives. You put the ugly, the hard love in front of us, Lord. But you've loved us so much that they become easy to love. And so by your Spirit, you show us their true identity in you. And we can just start calling that forward with your power. It's not something we're doing in the natural, Lord. It's the power of your word and the power of your love to draw goodness forward in those people to draw truth of their identity forward, that they can live and begin to have relationship with you. And so thank you that you've given us a ministry of reconciliation as new creations in Christ, that we can reconcile others back towards you, because you're the one who leads us and guides us, and you enable us to change into that who you've created us to be. And we're just so thankful that it's not a hard ministry to do. It's just empowered by your love, and then you love so freely. The word says that God is love. Help us to understand that to a way that just makes life so simple and not complicated, Lord. Thank you for how Mark loved Gary and me and Natalie and Jim and all those around him. Yeah. We appreciate that example. Paul said, live as I have lived. And I don't know that Mark would be as bold to say that, Lord, but we can take so much away from his life and carry that on in our own lives. And we appreciate that part of our life, the blessing that we've received in him. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So before I close out the program, is there anything else, Gary, you want to add, or Bruce, that you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to say one thing I did respect about Mark, too, is knowing him for as long as I have and just being in church with him and being in relationship with him. Is he was always willing to be open to hear what God had to say, and he didn't ever get this set in his ways, like he knew it all and that was it. I mean, I saw Mark over the years just constantly growing and, you know, having to say, hey, you know, maybe I was wrong about that, mm-hmm. or maybe I need to look at that different. And so his attitude was always, you know,
teachable,
very teachable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I loved about him. And because of that, just helped me a ton, because I learned to be not quite so hard-headed, even though maybe still a little hard-headed.
Is it a man thing? No, I'm teasing. I'm hard-headed, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen the same thing in Mark. Hmm. I've seen him say, you know what, I was wrong when I said or did that. And, you know, and he's always quick to and be like, yeah, God's leading me into this or that. And so I appreciated that about him, too. Yeah. He never once thought he knew it all. Bruce, did you have anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'm going to add this I'm going to speak up for Mark, because he'd be embarrassed by this whole deal, to be honest with you.
He would be?
Yeah, he would say, let me tell you what's really important. He would probably quote something like Hebrews 12:2, where we're instructed to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He would say, if you see anything good in me, it's Jesus. And so I'm going to encourage you to look to Jesus and to use him as your example for your life. I'm very thankful that we saw so much of Christ in Mark, but Mark would tell you, hey, look to Christ, look to Jesus. You're going to find the answer to everything in life there.
I'm so glad you brought up, that's right, look to Christ, and that is why Mark was who he
that's
was,
right.
Because he looked to Christ.
And now, Natalie, I would like to take the liberty, as the producer-engineer of this program, for many years alongside Mark, to stop as we end our program tonight as a tribute to him and play a song that was played at his memorial service. From the time we first heard this song at church, Mark began quoting it on the show, and we knew it was one that really touched him. I know I can't hear this song without thinking of Mark, and I know our listeners will be blessed by hearing the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every
the goodness of God. I love your voice. You will lead me through the fire, and in darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Our deepest appreciation to you, our listener, and thanks for tuning in to tonight's edition of Sunday Night Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded for play at this time.